This is Scott Becker with Becker's Dental Review and Becker's Healthcare. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Kevin Mosier. Kevin's the CEO of ClearChoice. ClearChoice is one of the most successful dentistry companies in the country. Thrilled to have you on today. We're going to talk mostly about dentistry in the time of COVID and what's going on, how things get better and more. Kevin, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure, Scott. Yeah, my name's Kevin Mosier. I'm CEO of ClearChoice. Been with ClearChoice for 7 years. We have 64 clinics in 27 states, and our big focus is on full arch dental implant rehabilitation, typically patients that are at the end stages of their periodontal disease.
Great. And I know you've become sort of the nation's leader in this area of dental implants. Take a moment and talk to us about what happened to dentistry during the time of COVID-19.
Scott. I think the pandemic was a real wake-up call for dentistry. We have known in dentistry for a long time of the oral systemic link, and meaning that your oral health translates to your overall health. Dentistry is not simply preventative care, dental cleanings and whitenings and so forth, but there can be real oral disease that needs to be dealt with. And I think the decision makers somewhat associated or evaluated dentistry based on their own experience. So their experience might be for the very basics, you know, going to the dentist, and therefore that's how they perceive dentistry. But there are some serious diseases that can result in systemic disease, that can beget pain and swelling and, you know, active infection that needs to be dealt with. And I think that's what got left by the wayside as this pandemic started. And we kind of all got lumped together as elective and basic and shut down, you know, and it was terrible.
I think your perception of it is just a great point, that most of us go to the dentist for a one-off, you know, periodic, our cleaning, our update and so forth, and think, oh, it could be put off for 6 months or 12 months and it'll be okay. Whereas what you're dealing with is much deeper oral hygiene and dental diseases that really can't be put off. So sort of a fascinating perspective from leadership, politicos, et cetera, that differs from really how it should be perceived.
That's correct. That's my belief.
I think that you're right on in that. And talk to us about the need for dentistry. There's been all these questions about what should be essential, what shouldn't be essential, you know, where should people stop doing in-office visits, where they shouldn't. And talk about the link between oral hygiene, oral health, and just systematic health, people's general health. And talk about that and why dentistry is so important to overall health.
I think a lot of, the decision makers, let's just say, that said, hey, dentistry is non-essential, people should stay away from the dental office, are speaking through their own experience, right? Many of us have experience with the dentist, and often that experience is for very routine things like cleanings or perhaps tooth whitening, maybe a crown here or there. So, to me, dentistry, I've been in healthcare for 30 years. Dentistry is driven quite a bit by preventative care, probably more so than many other areas of medical and dental or medical overall. And so I think dental is perceived through that lens. Yet within dentistry, there's severe oral disease. I mean, there's periodontal disease. There are things such as fractured teeth. There are toothaches and fistulas and other things that can happen in the oral cavity that can create instances for people that need to be addressed. And I think that experience, perhaps, or the lack of that experience for many people is what drove some of the decision making. But the reality is it's those diseases that can result in other systemic diseases. And it's very well demonstrated in the literature, things such as cardiovascular disease, digestive disorders, dementia that are related to poor oral health and the active infection not being dealt with.
And take a moment. You've got the situation where some of the either politicals or other leaders didn't view dentistry as essential as some other things. What can dentists do? What can associations do to make sure that they're seen as essential and there's a clearer message on this?
Yeah, I think that there's been this, and it's really interesting, it's fascinating to see how as medicine and dentistry evolved in this country, there's really this separation of the oral cavity from the rest of the patient, which is an odd thing. And so what you end up with is a dynamic where those who go through medical school learn very little of the oral cavity, those who go through dental school learn very little of, you know, the systemic impact or effects of poor oral health. I would say the latter probably more so than the former, but nevertheless, there's this divide. And I think there needs to be more education. I think there needs to be more collaboration, particularly with primary care physicians and understanding what oral health means to a patient's overall health. So there needs to be more communication. We need to break down that divide that has always historically sat between dentistry and medicine. So I think education is probably the first thing. I think that what we find, we deal with more severe kind of oral disease, is that many of our patients actually are referred to us by medical professionals because perhaps the patient needs surgery or they're dealing with some other health issue and they need to get their oral health situation taken care of. So I think you kind of see it more as patients get sicker, but you don't see it on the primary care side. And that's where I think organizations working with organizations and medical professionals working with one another to better educate each other so that they can more holistically take care of the patient.
And another question along those lines, the relationship between general and family practice dentists and specialists like Clear Choice, dental implant providers, should they be forming stronger relationships? And what are some of the benefits of there being stronger relationships between the general and family practice dentist and the specialist?
Yeah, I mean, I think they should. Again, for us, we tend to interface with medical specialists and not the generalists, not the general or the primary care physicians. And I just don't think there's an appreciation for the seriousness of, you know, the oral condition to the overall health of the individual. What we do is we tend to, and this is a part of medicine, in fact, in this country, is we're so specialized that we look at patients as kind of a fraction of the, you know, of the whole, rather than looking at the patient as a whole. So I think that the benefit is to put the patient at the center and holistically pursue ways of dealing with systemic overall health. And you only do that through collaboration. You can only put the patient at the center if the parts are collaborating, right? Those caregivers who specialize in various areas come together. So I really think at the primary care physician organizational level and at the general dental organizational levels, they need to be not having these big divides between them, but more communicating with one another, collaborating, sharing information. I think that is what's necessary.
And take a moment for us and talk about the general era of dentistry. Is this a time that's important for dentistry? Is it something that's taken a backseat or front in terms of people's view of healthcare? What's some of your senses of the perception of the dentistry industry?
Yeah, I think there's a real inflection point here for us in dentistry. In 2000, the Surgeon General, the U.S. Surgeon General, published their first report on oral health in America. And it was in that report that the Surgeon General highlighted the oral systemic link. Oral health begets systemic health. And so that was kind of a new concept. And, you know, people talked about it. There was a lot of fanfare, but it really hasn't taken. It hasn't changed the way healthcare is delivered in this country or dentistry is delivered in this country. Now you come forward 20 years and COVID comes along. I think two things came to the fore. First of all, there was a huge debate about, is dentistry essential? And then within dentistry, what's emergent, what's urgent, you know, what are the different levels of care? And it really started out of necessity, a debate around those issues, which I think has been productive. The second thing is, What was the first thing in the healthcare side of the aisle that we were trying to do? It was to keep the ERs free so that we could focus on COVID-19 and things of that sort and not have a situation where patients are getting infected because they're in for some other situation. There are 2 million dental visits roughly a year to the ERs in this country. If we can better work together, I think we can keep patients out of the ERs because of the essential nature of dentistry. And I think also now more than ever, people are mindful of underlying healthcare conditions. And I think we have a great platform now to really extol the virtues of good oral health to preserve systemic health. So I do think that this is a real inflection time for dentistry, and we need to take advantage of it. We need to make sure that the the message is getting out there and that it's heard.
Kevin Mosier, a pleasure to speak to you on Becker's Dental Review, Becker's Healthcare. Just a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time to visit with us this afternoon. We appreciate it so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.